If you would be opening your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4, we will begin there in just a couple of minutes. Ephesians chapter 4. It's good to have everyone with us today as we have assembled together to worship our Heavenly Father. If you're visiting here with us, we want you to know that you are our welcome guest. If you have a question or comment you'd like to make known to us, please come up to us afterwards, come up to one of the other elders or myself, and be happy to talk to you and to study with you from the wonderful Word of God. Before we get into the lesson, and there's a bit of relevancy to this announcement, last year when we had to rebuild the church's website, some of the what we'd like to have on there was lacking. Well, we've now begun to add the sermons to the website. So if you go to the website, seminalpoint.church, click on sermons, and then you'll see the sermons, or at least the list of them. And I say that because last week was the first of two parts. And so when you click on last week's sermon, you'll see an option to view the video, to listen to the audio of it. You can even look at a PDF of the charts and an outline if I have one for the sermon. I did for that one and for this one. So go back, seminalpoint.church, and look at sermons, and you'll see it, so you'll know what we talked about last week. But let's go ahead and start with the lesson for today. One of the things, and this is kind of how we started the look at this study, is to make known the point that is crucial. It is crucial for the spiritual well-being of the local congregation that we do the work of our Lord and Savior. When the Lord set up the pattern for the local church, and we know the difference between the body of Christ and the work of the local congregation, he did it for the benefit of the members. He did it so that the individual Christians who serve him, who follow him, have a way of coming together to work collectively, to be that pillar of ground and truth in the community, to help each and every one of us grow spiritually before him. But what we also saw in the first part of Ephesians 5 is that we have a responsibility as individuals to work together to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. This is so important because the functioning of the local church depends upon us being unified, but not just unified in anything. It's got to be unified in the Spirit, in the bond of peace, serving our Heavenly Father, the same goal, and be of the same mind. Now, the two things we talked about last week that helps to promote this spiritual growth within the local congregation is this need to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace and to also have proper leadership. And so if you missed last week's sermon, you can go back and look at it on our website, seminalpoint.church. Today we're going to look at the third thing that the congregation needs in order to continue this spiritual growth. And this is real simple. It is the need for ongoing effort. It is not something that we can get to a point and say, we're done, and nothing else needs to be done on our part. This is something that is an ongoing process, and we see this in Ephesians chapter 4. This time, let's start in verse 12. We looked at the first 11 verses of it last week. Let's start in our reading of verse 11 for the context here. He says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." When we talk about this need for ongoing effort, look at what verse 12 says. "For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry." There is a responsibility on the part of each and every Christian here to be equipped to serve the Lord. The idea of ministry there is the idea of service. And we all have to be equipped to that end. And the role of the local congregation, the responsibility of the shepherds, of the overseers, of the eldership, is to make certain that we are all growing to this end so that we may be equipped for the work of serving the Lord. Now, there are two different ways you can look at this service, this ministry. First would involve teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, teaching, as Paul would use the term, sound doctrine. We see this charge given to Timothy over in 2 Timothy. Note with me there in chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Paul, in writing there to Timothy, he says the following. Did I say chapter 2, verses 1 and 2? Pretend I did, because that's where we're going to be. Sorry about that. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. He says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you've heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Paul gave Timothy, who was the evangelist there with the church in Ephesus, by the way, at the time of this writing, he tells him to the things that you have heard, you need to teach these to faithful men. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 1, turn back one chapter, let's come down there to verse number 13. He says, "Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me, in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus, that the good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us." It is the responsibility of Timothy, of the evangelist, and it is the need of the congregation to hear this sound doctrine, the Word of God. This is how we all are equipped for the work of the ministry. When we hear the truth, when we are taught the truth, in the same book, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, Paul charges Timothy to preach the word, to be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. And then in Paul's qualifications that he gives for those who would serve as elders, notice what he says here. This is in Titus chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. He says in Titus 1, verse 7, start there, "For a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money." Now note this, verse 8, Titus 1. He says, "But hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict." For the equipping of the saints for the work of service, for the work of ministry. This is the role of the local congregation. And this is how the local congregation grows spiritually. It's one reason why we assemble together often. This is reason why we offer Bible classes, not just here collectively in our meeting place, but also some of us in our homes, so that we can provide more opportunities for us all to learn together, to grow together, to be thoroughly equipped for the work of serving the Lord, for that work of ministry. Now, there's another side to this service, and one might say that this falls within the realm of our service towards one another. 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning there, verse 11, Peter talks some about this. Let's turn over there to 1 Peter chapter 4. Let's start our reading there in verse 7. We'll go down to verse 11. In the context here, Peter says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins." He says, "Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to him as a good steward of the manifold grace of God." Brother Decker, in his prayer earlier, mentioned the talents that the Lord has given us. We don't all have the same ability or the same talents, but what we do in the capacity of serving the Lord and working with the local church, we use. He says there, continuing in the text here, continue there in verse 11. "Now, if anyone speaks," he says, "let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. The work of the local congregation results in the glorification of our Heavenly Father. And when we all do our part, as we are being equipped for the ministry, for the service of our Lord and Savior, and our service to one another, as we do this work, we bring glory to our Heavenly Father. But now let's turn back to Ephesians chapter 4 again. Ongoing effort requires us to continue to work for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. But he also says now, picking up in verse 12, the latter part, now let's continue down through verse number 15. Having said for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, we now read for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. What is the one word that you would kind of use to describe this passage? What is the outcome of this? That would be growth. The local congregation doesn't simply exist for people to get together and do once a week as it may be convenient within their life. The local congregation is a family of believers who come together to collectively worship the Lord and to grow in our own service unto God, not even to mention our service together as we've been talking about so far. But in the course of our reading here, he says very clearly, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The idea of the word edifying, you've heard this before, is the idea of building up. So your part and my part all works together to build up this local congregation. Now sometimes we might want to think of building up as something that is seen numerically. But first and foremost, the foundation of the congregation, the very foundation of our lives individually in our faith, must be made strong. And when that foundation, the foundation of the household of God, is built upon the teachings of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, Ephesians chapter 2, when we do our part as members of the household of God, it becomes stronger. And it becomes stronger in collective faith, in our individual faith. We are becoming stronger in our work of our Lord. It is the building up process. Now, if we do this, God will give the increase. That's what Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. He said that he planted, Apollos watered. That's the work of the congregation. And he says, but God gives the increase. But when we talk about the edifying the body of Christ, Paul helps us to understand some of the things that fall within this goal. He says in verse 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith. That's the first thing. The work of the congregation, the work of the elders of the congregation, the evangelists of the congregation, the work of the teachers of the congregation, going back to verse 11 there, is also that we, as he says here in verse number 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Is there an end to this? No, unless the Lord comes again. There's not an end to this. It is an ongoing effort of edification resulting in the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God. And then he says in verse 13, to a perfect man, full-grown man is kind of the idea there. And we see that in the next phrase, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We're talking about spiritual growth. We're talking about you and I becoming stronger in our service unto God. A service that begins within our hearts, within our minds, and then is manifested within our lives as we put forth the effort to serve Him and to do His will. And we all work together. Every time we assemble together, this is all part of the process of helping us all and each and every one of us to become stronger. This is why we reach out to one another. Not necessarily when you assemble together, but as Paul writes in Galatians chapter 6, if you know a brother who is overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, restore such a one. We all work together for the growth of the local body so that we might become stronger. He says, till we all come to the unity of the faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, we need to grow up. If we are not full grown, we need to continue pushing in that area. Now, I don't mean age-wise. We have some members here who are respectably advanced in age. I won't name any one of them. And we've got some who are members of the body of Christ who are young. And then we have our young people. But that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about spiritual maturity here, an understanding of the Word of God, and abiding in that understanding of God's Word. Now, we have to grow up because we cannot afford to be children. He explains this in verse 14, and this is not a disparaging mark about children itself, but it shows the lack of knowledge and wisdom and the susceptibility to be deceived when one is as a child. And he sees that here, that warning in verse 14, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. In Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, go over just a couple of chapters, chapter 6. He illustrates, if you would, what would be harmed, what we could not do if we allowed ourselves to be as children. Let me share. Let's take a brief detour. Over in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against spiritualities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. You cannot do that if you allow yourself to be like a child who is tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. This is why we seek to grow, to be edified, to be built up in our service unto our Heavenly Father, so that we, and now turn back to Ephesians chapter 4 again, continuing in the text there, verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. This is what we're growing towards, so that we can all speak the truth in love, so that we all can grow up in all things into Christ. But this is an ongoing effort of us striving to build up, to edify the body of Christ. Now, verses 15 and 16. This ongoing effort also requires us to be unified and growing together. He says in verse 15, Ephesians 4, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Each and every member is an instrumental part to the growth towards maturity of this local congregation. And when each and every member speaks the truth in love, then it causes the body to grow. It causes the body to grow together in Christ Jesus. Local congregation cannot sit around and cannot afford to be lax and lazy. We don't simply exist as a group of people who get together to do a few things. This is a functioning of a local body of believers who are seeking to do the will of our Lord in this community and to do so in a collective fashion as taught within the scriptures and to grow together. This action results in the growth of the local body for the edifying of itself in love. Now, we're going to say this. We really shouldn't have to say it at this point because the lesson has already covered it both weeks, last week and this week. But this is not according to our standard. This is not growth according to our wisdom. This is not deciding what to do based on what we would like. This is according to the pattern of sound words, what we see within the Word of God. But now let's go forward. One more thing we need to talk about. The need for ongoing effort. It requires all of us to fulfill our part, to fulfill the needs, that this local congregation has. Now, to look at this, I want to take a detour real quick from Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to go to Romans chapter 12. Paul, the Apostle Paul, in his letter to the church in Rome, I want you to notice what he has to say here regarding abilities that individuals have. Some of these lists are a bit challenging, and I think in 1 Corinthians 12, you kind of see something similar. Might be 1 Corinthians 10. It's 1 Corinthians 12. You kind of see something similar where you see a list of gifts and abilities, and sometimes these gifts and abilities were specifically given by the Holy Spirit, and therefore miraculous by nature. But then there are abilities that people have that they have been born with or they develop within their life, and the Lord expects them to use them to His glory. Here's an example, Romans chapter 12, beginning of verse 3. Paul says, "For I say, through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith." Now, this was written during the age of inspiration. But the prophet of the Lord conveyed to the people the message of the Lord. They worked hand in hand, with the apostles. So much so that, as we referenced a while ago in Ephesians chapter 2, he says there the household of God is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. But in this day and age, after the day of inspiration, the end goal is still there for the Word of God to be taught, for the message of the Lord that has been conveyed to us through His Word via the inspiration of the Holy Spirit be taught. Now, look what he says here with this. Continuing in the text, he says there in verse number 6, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given, let us use them in prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering." Now, this is talking about service. And it could be specifically talking about teaching. But he'll talk about teachers here in just a minute. But he also could be talking about just the general service to God and service to one another in our work together in this congregation. He says, "Or he who teaches in teaching." So if you have the ability to teach, put that to use. You learn how to teach. You know what to teach. And then you teach. He who exhorts, in exhortation. You know, some people, I was going to say, are better motivators than others. I don't really like the term. I prefer the term exhorting in the context of this. But you know those type of people, they come up and say one word, and you already feel like you've been encouraged for the whole day, and that you can do what you need to do. And then you got those who come and say one word to you, and you feel bad for the rest of the day. We're not talking about them. But those who can exhort, then do so. To exhortation. Then he says there, "He who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." We all have a part to play. We all have abilities and gifts, if you would, that we are able to use in our service unto the Lord and in the working of the local congregation. And we need to make certain that we, in an ongoing effort, continue to do this, that we don't fail, that we don't stop. We always ask the question, what can I do? Is there something more that I might be able to do? Whether we're talking about helping service one another, to tend to one another as we have spiritual needs, sometimes there are physical needs. But even more, in a greater fashion, in our service unto the Lord, so that the local congregation can continue to be the pillar and ground of truth in the community. And that's what Paul wrote to Timothy, 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. He says, "I write these things so you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the church of God, the household of God, the pillar and ground of truth." The local congregation serves to uphold the truth of God's word. It is our responsibility to be the buttress, is an older term that is used to talk about the supporting of something. Imagine with great pillars. And it is our responsibility, as Paul says, to behave in a fashion according to what God has taught, so that we may know how we ought to behave ourselves in the church of God, the household of God, the pillar and ground of truth. And if we do that, if we will do this, then we will all not only grow together, grow individually, I should say, we'll also grow together. And the way that we grow spiritually, as we've already talked about, we keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. We have a proper leadership and maintain that proper leadership and teaching. And then, as we talked about now, ongoing effort. We must never stop. We must never cease. If you're not a Christian, you need to begin the journey. If you're not a child of God, you need to become one. You need to ask the question, when you understand that Jesus Christ died for you and that the sins of your life are keeping you separated from God, and the only way to be made alive from being dead in trespasses and sins is through the blood of Jesus Christ, when you get to that point, then ask the question that the people asked of Peter and the apostles on the day of Pentecost. They said, "What shall we do?" And that should be your question this morning. And the reply is the same thing as Peter said. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Did the people believe? You know they did. That's why they were convicted to ask the question, "What shall I do?" And so the answer was simple. You need to repent, turn away, be buried with Christ through baptism, as Paul will explain in Romans 6, so that you may rise to walk in a newness of life. The Lord adds you to the church. You then walk in fellowship with God, and you walk in fellowship with those of like precious faith. But you're not there yet, but you can be if you'll obey the gospel's call today. If you are a Christian, you've not been living faithfully. There might be a connection with your work with the local church. And it may be that you are missing out and not doing your part with this local church, and that could be impacting your own life individually. Many times when people walk away from the Lord, it is not because they just got unhappy with the local church. It's because they quit serving the Lord. And somewhere along the way, they began to weaken and walk away from serving Him. And if that's you, then we encourage you to repent, to ask the Lord to forgive you, making that determination to return back to His fellowship. And let's work together to serve Him. If you're subject to the gospel's call and invitation, come forward as we stand and as we sing.